Horror Movie Talk, brought to you by Astronomically Impossible Underwater Scenarios. Do you have a research grant totaling in the trillions? Maybe you are looking to drill for oil, vibranium, or incredibly rare spaghetti sauce. Astronomically Impossible Underwater Scenarios is here to meet all of your wildest underwater fantasies, no matter how unachievable or unbelievable. We have all the most dorky and nerdy scientists to work on your insanely unaccomplishable underwater circle jerks. Let us help you delve to the deepest possible point on the planet to erect a city under the crushing depths. We will even help you put a train down there. Astronomically Impossible Underwater Scenarios. Just don't ask us to keep the soda machine stocked. Hello and welcome to Horror Movie Talk, an opinionated and accidentally funny horror movie review show. Your panel of expert hosts each week are Dr. Bryce Hansen, who holds a PhD in spookology, and Professor David Day, the foremost expert in scare no-nos. New theatrical releases always get priority, but we also review older horror movies, both good and horrible. I'm David Day.
I'm Bryce Hansen.
And you guys should check us out over at horrormovietalk.com.
It's .com.
.com, not US or net or .dental. It's not any of those. It's .com. Check us out there, horrormovietalk.com, and you will find links to all of our social media, LinkedIn, Reddit, YouTube, the Gram, Facebook, and Twitter is where we enjoy being. In terms of hating to be on social media. And then we do post new episodes every single Wednesday, so make sure to subscribe to our show and leave a rating on Apple Podcasts. That helps us the most, and it's so easy for you to do. And a lot of you have been doing it, and we appreciate it. And if you're listening and you haven't given us a rating, you know, maybe do. Hey, what are you doing over there, Sorry. Guy? You and your crazy... Bryce is over there. He's like
my springs.
Playing with contraptions.
I touched my springs.
We have a great show for you guys today. Today we will be talking about Underwater, starring Kristen Stewart and TJ Miller as the wacky guy who provides all the wacky stuff that sounds wacky. We'll start out by giving a brief review and our score for the movie. We score on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being a miserable dredge where it makes you angry, 5 being an average film that hits all the expected marks, and 10 being so good that it transcends genre boundaries. Get ready for that 10. Are you ready for the 10? It's coming on Underwater.
Well, like you said before we went in, it was... on Rotten Tomatoes, like, what was it, 48%?
Yeah, something
percent,
like that.
And the Grudge was still at 15. So we were expecting it to be three times better.
Three times as good. And we liked The Grudge. So,
and you'll find out if
so
it is or not.
This would have been an astonishing movie if it was three times better than The Grudge. After we give our score, we'll get into spoilers and take a deeper dive into what we liked and hated about the film, or hated about the film, should say. Later, we will be doing a bit called Lifetime Movie or Horror Movie, where Bryce will have to guess from the description of the movie that I read, whether it's a Lifetime movie or a horror movie. And I think we're actually going to be doing it came from social media a little bit as well. So, Underwater is in theaters right now, and I did not expect much, which left me pleasantly surprised when I didn't have a bad time. As far as Underwater spooks and adventure goes, this is unique enough to hold my attention, but it doesn't pull off anything amazing. So with that, here is the trailer.
Listen carefully. You are now 5,000 miles from land, and you're descending 7 miles to the bottom of the ocean. See you all in a month.
Here we go. All right, we're gonna do this. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm. scale from 1 to 10, how bad's my rig?
10. We drilled to the bottom of the ocean, and we don't know what came out.
Gotta get to the station.
How do we even get there?
We walk. We just did a walk with insufficient oxygen across the bottom of the ocean.
You don't know what's out there.
Worst idea ever! What was that?
Turn your lights off.
Underwater stars Kristen Stewart as Nora, T.J. Miller as the unnamed goofball, and Vincent Cassell as the captain who looks just like my friend Brent.
Yeah, that trailer, especially the beginning of that trailer, is not the tone of the movie.
No.
And that stuff is not in the movie.
No.
Like the, you are about to go 7 miles deep. Like, none of that happens, and there's no... The Temptations playing lightheartedly.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, we're going to get flagged for that. For sure. Yeah, anyway, Vincent Cassell looks just like my friend Brent.
Yeah.
Brenners.
Huh.
As he's fondly called. This is an incredibly simple story.
I shouldn't say that. People will be able to know who he is. Let's just call him B. Brenners.
No, his last name's something totally different.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. This is an incredibly simple story that starts with Kristen Stewart describing life underwater in this massive underwater facility that is made to support a drilling operation at the bottom of the Mariana Trench, which, of course, is underwater. Yeah. After a few minutes, the facility begins to explode or implode, and our leading lady is forced to begin her underwater quest. Or I'm sorry, her underwater quest to escape. Along the way, she runs into a few friends who have miraculously survived the facility being torn to shreds at this crushing depth.
Are they friends or are they just random fodder?
Yeah, I mean, well, they seem to kind of know each other. I don't... Yeah, they're kind of just random fodder.
Okay.
Once she meets up with the captain, they hatch a plan to escape, but soon find themselves in over their heads.
I get it, because it's underwater.
Right. Underwater is a by-the-books movie that reminds me of Sphere from 1998, mixed with a little bit of Aliens and the Abyss.
Yeah, definitely a lot of Aliens.
We gotta make it to the thing. We gotta go there.
Not so much the Abyss, because the Abyss was interesting.
I mean, it just reminds me of the Abyss.
Because it's underwater.
Because it's underwater, yeah. And the Abyss is like, to my mind, the quintessential deep sea movie.
Right. I don't see much from Sphere, really.
Yeah, it just had that... it just had that vibe to, like, that was the one that hit me the most. Like, I was like, I remember Sphere.
Huh.
I don't know why. I guess because they're in an underwater facility.
Right.
And there was no Rain Man, though, so. T.J. Miller does exactly what you think he's going to do, and so does Kristen Stewart. In fact, all of the characters do the things that you think they're going to do. Does that make it bad? No, not really. Just kind of predictable. Does it make it good? Also, no. I like the monster design in this, which is saying something, because I rarely enjoy monster design, and that's a hard stop on that. Like I said, it kept my attention, and I wasn't upset. I'd go a light 6 on this, is where I think I'm going to land. I could also be convinced that this is a 5. So, yeah. That's where I'm at. What do you think about Underwater? What are your impressions and opinions?
Yeah, I have different impressions. I really didn't like it.
You hated it.
I was really bored in it. And it wasn't necessarily, I mean, it wasn't like necessarily my mood going into it. It was, I mean, there was a little bit of like, I don't really care about this movie, and I'm going in to watch it for the
show. Yeah, I felt that in spades going into this movie. I was like, the things I do for this podcast, I can't believe it.
Yeah, because this looked like such milquetoast garbage going into it. And, you know, I wasn't tired, but this movie made me tired. I was like literally like closing my eyes through some of it because I was just like, I don't care. It did not hold my interest. Let's just put it that way. I mean, this is a good example of like when you try to critique a movie, sometimes it comes to you just didn't like the things that other people like.
Hey, sometimes it just doesn't hit you.
Like it's the monster design. Yeah, it was unique and kind of a unique situation, but I didn't care. Like it's just that's not something I get excited about. And it's like for some of it's like, okay, they're jelly monsters.
Yeah,
like they're gooey undersea creature monsters. Hey, whoa, that will eat you.
Spoilers,
you know.
I mean, it sounds to me like the movie just bar none failed at the table stakes of what it's supposed to do, which is hold your attention
right
for you. So, it sounds like, and that's a perfectly reasonable reason to dislike. What would you give it?
You know, honestly, coming out of the theater, I was telling myself that's like a two. I was like, it made me angry that I was watching it, you know?
Wow.
Like, I'm so underwhelmed that I just wasted my time that I was angry at it. So I'm going to be generous and give it a 3.
Wow.
I really didn't like it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much the effect is that The Grudge I thought was so much better than other people thought. Like, I almost wonder if I'm just affected by that.
Yeah, I feel like you're taking...
Expecting it to be better.
I feel like you're taking a little bit of your ire for the people who hate The Grudge and seemingly liked this out on this.
I mean, what I can say is it is unique, but in terms of, like, yeah, holding my attention and being an interesting viewing experience, it doesn't give me enough hooks. Like, I don't care about the characters. They're there.
Yeah.
I don't really care about the stakes of them making it to the place because I don't care about them, and I know that all of them are going to get picked off. Like it's just given in this type of movie. It's like, okay, half of you are definitely gone, so let's just get on with it, you know. And there's nothing, like you said, it's super predictable. There's nothing outside of that. The ending a little bit, I mean, that was interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of cool,
but even then, you know, the ending, like, dialogue is like, all right.
Yeah.
It's this. All right, you're not that good of a movie to pull off, you know, this, like, moody, like, super interesting and meaningful ending. It's like, no, it doesn't.
You know, that's really what I enjoy about the Cloverfield series is specifically the first Cloverfield is it doesn't. Like, it's just what it is. It makes no allusions to anything else. It doesn't have a lot of exposition, or it's just literally like a camcorder turning on, and then at the end it's a camcorder turning off, and a bunch of scary monster shit happens in the middle, and I like that.
Yeah, I just the monster movie subgenre, it's not as interesting to me.
Have you seen 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a great one.
Well, that's
one.
Completely different.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
that's
different.
Not a monster movie.
No, I'm
that's
not like, saying it is.
That's like super character driven and
That's
interesting.
That's a thriller drama.
So, like, I would say this is like the quality of an, in terms of narrative or like how much I would care about watching it, it's like a Netflix original level. Except the production design is way higher than Netflix would do.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not rush to the theaters to see this.
No, I wouldn't rush to the theaters to see this either. The fact of the matter is this movie is aliens.
Right.
We have to go from here to there. And we got to get, it's our lives are on the line. Oh, no. We got to get there. And if.
Oh, now we're safe. Wait, we're not safe.
Right. And and if
now
that,
we're safe. Nope.
And if you don't buy into it, you're not going to have a good time.
Yeah. So. I mean, this is a lot of people will like this movie because they've been looking for a movie like this. Like
right.
The underwater creature movies. Like I've read a lot of comments online where it's like, you know, I really like space monster movies because, you know, there's monsters in space and this is basically that because it's underwater. Or I really like, you know, I feel like the underwater horror stuff has not been explored enough and like this will scratch your itch for that.
Yeah. Yeah. What was I going to say? I can't recall, but if I do, I'll bring it up. So with that, you guys should check out our Patreon. Head on over there at patreon.com/horrormovietalk. And from there, you can get access to exclusive another podcast that we run called the Afterpod, as well as other exclusives that we provide. And we sure do appreciate all our Patreon members. And if you become one, you will help to support the show, keep the lights on over here, make sure we cover all our hosting costs and all that baloney. We don't make a lot, but we make enough to keep going. So, and we'd like to grow and we'd like to do more interesting and fun things. So, that's how you can support us there. If you also, you can support us by heading to our website, horrormovietalk.com. And up at the top right corner, there's a button that says buy stuff on Amazon. All you have to do is go to that link, click it, bookmark it, and then use it to do all your Amazon shopping, and we get a pretty decent taste of whatever you buy instead of, you know, some charity who's just gonna use it to help people.
Yeah.
So do that. Also, check out our resident artist, Dustin Goebel, who's a professional artist who fucks hard. He also takes commissions for artwork from HMT fans, and you can contact him at DGOEBEL00. That's at DGOEBEL00 on Instagram. And check out his Instagram anyway, just because, damn it.
Yeah, he's got some great horror and comedy podcast art.
Dude, the one he made for Underwater is one of the first serious ones that he's made for us.
Yeah.
Just because there wasn't a lot of information about Underwater out there, so he didn't have a lot to go on. But god damn, is it beautiful. And,
yeah,
and it has a HMT logo, like the YMH logo.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cool. It's so cool.
Oh yeah, that is what it is. Like the,
I saw it and I was instantly like, "Oh my god, yeah. I love it!" The tasteful thickness of it.
Yeah, he said he spent extra time on it. Not that he thinks the movie's going to be good, but mostly because he likes drawing girls in mechanical suits.
Yeah, yeah. That's another thing that worked about this movie. Lots of barely clothed Kristen Stewart.
Yeah, if there's one thing that I did like was the last like 20 minutes or so where it's just Kristen Stewart running around in underwear. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm okay with this.
I'll tell you later. I'll tell you that didn't work for me so much, but I'll tell you why. So make sure to bring that up. Anyway, head on over. Check out Dustin at DGoebel00 on Instagram. Tell him HMT sent you. And also, you guys can support the show and get access to a bunch of streaming horror if you head on over to Shudder, that's SHUDDER.com, and enter HMT at checkout. That gets you a 30-day free trial to the service. And they have a ton of really cool stuff over there. Last night I started on Dustin's recommendation. I started The Beyond, which is a gore classic from the early 80s. And it is crazy. Anyway, there's just tons of classics on there. There's tons of great horror on there. There's tons of Shudder originals on there. So check it out. You get 30 days if you enter HMT at checkout. So thanks again. Oh
yeah. We don't really get much from them. But it's a service to our listeners, because if you like horror movies, like, you've probably heard of it and you've probably considered getting it. So if you're considering getting it, definitely use the 30-day free trial. Yeah, it's definitely a service where it'll have movies that you're like, why isn't this on anything?
Right.
Like, why isn't this on Amazon or Apple or anything for free? It's like a great movie, but it's not like a tentpole.
Yeah.
You know? And it has a lot of those.
Yeah, a couple of days ago, they just added The House of the Devil and, oh man, this is going to drive me nuts. I can't remember the name of the other one they added with just... House of the Devil. But anyway, so.
Oh, Midsummer. I think they added.
No, they did not have Midsummer.
Oh, Amazon added Midsummer.
Amazon. Yeah, and Amazon. Yeah. Okay, so with that, let's get into spoilers.
This is where we talk about the spoilers. Hey, baby.
You're gonna get spoiled!
So, the action in this movie starts off very quickly.
Yeah, this is what you would call, if you wanna, for the educated listeners, it starts off in medias res.
What?
Which means in the middle of the action.
Ah.
So it skips, basically skips the first act. It skips all the exposition. Well, it gives exposition in the credits. It shows a bunch of newspaper clippings saying...
Miner.
Yeah. Miners are underwater. It's really deep. It's in the Marianas Trench. Spooky stuff might be happening.
Who knows?
And then it opens on Kristen Stewart brushing her teeth.
Well, like it opens on this ultra, like, we're going down into the depths, and we're getting to view this ultra massive facility that's just plunging into the depths, and it presumably it goes from the surface of the water down all the way down to the bottom of the deepest spot on the entire planet, the Mariana Trench. This facility is improbable, I would say.
Yeah, because it's giant.
Yeah, not only is it giant, but it's more difficult to be at the bottom of the sea than it is to be in outer space. Just long term, it's just, there's more pressure. It's a more foreboding environment.
Water and salt.
Yeah.
It's not great.
It's fucking rough.
Yeah.
So it
starts off exactly like the teaser trailer did. If you remember the teaser, where it's basically Kristen Stewart brushing her teeth and then the roof is leaking, which is a bad sign.
Yeah, it's like drip,
the bottom
drip,
of the
drip,
ocean.
Drip.
And then,
but you get to see her sexy tum tum.
Mm-hmm.
She's very skinny and svelte, mm-hmm. and just very skinny and svelte.
Yeah, and the hallways start exploding or imploding. I'm sorry, like just immediately. Like there's literally nothing that happens between the time her brushing her teeth and the place exploding. I guess the dialogue, what's it called? The narration that she's giving, which was confusing to me, because she specifically says, being underwater, it's, you know, day runs into night.
Sometimes you can't tell if you're dreaming or awake.
Yeah, so I was seriously
expecting for the whole movie to be a dream or something.
Yeah, I was expecting, like, within the first 10 minutes of, like, the implosion and stuff, that she was going to wake up.
Right.
And then I was going to be like, okay, here's your cast of characters. This is, like, the stakes. Like,
yeah.
That's what they're worried about. And then you got some time before it happens, like...
But I was expecting that so much that I appreciate that they didn't do it. Like, I was okay, great, we're just into it now.
Yeah, it's about 20 minutes into it, I'm like, okay, so they're not going to do that. Like, I can't... I was, like, predicting it to happen, and then it didn't happen. I was like, okay, it's a choice. That's fine. But, you know, in the types of movies where you start in the middle of the action and skip the exposition, there's kind of an expectation that those expositional parts will be hit in the movie at some point. Like,
yeah,
why are they all there? Like, individually, like, what's their reason for being there? Like, who are they? What makes them unique?
No time for that. Monsters.
Exactly. It's like it never... It feels like, especially with that trailer, it sounds like there might have been like an extra 10 to 20 minutes.
Well, we'll just have to wait for the director's cut.
Before that actually introduced the characters and made you maybe care about them a little more.
I don't know. I cared about Kristen Stewart. I cared about the captain. I cared about TJ Miller.
Yeah, the three that get kind of a decent touching on are the three that you mentioned. TJ Miller is exactly what you expect.
That's of the six they start with.
Yeah. And the captain's pretty good. Like, he feels very captain-y, very much a leader, taking charge. Like, his character is pretty good.
I love him.
Mostly on the actor.
Yeah, Brent was great.
Kristen Stewart is like Kristen Stewart. I don't know. There's a little bit like she's a mechanical engineer. Did I catch it right that she said she can't read?
Boy, man, I don't know. I don't recall that. There was, yeah, I don't recall.
There was like, I might be just taking crazy pills, but I thought at one point there was like a throwaway line where she's like, I don't know how to read.
Well, it's neither here. She could have just been like an attempt at comedy, but she's so dry on her delivery on everything that yeah. It just didn't hit.
Yeah.
So a lot of people. You know, a lot of people have specific things they that work for them or that really upset them a lot. For example, my brother, he can't handle contortion. Any kind of body contortion, it's not his thing. So
yeah,
he
Suspiria was not his bag.
Woo. Oh, man, I can't even imagine what it would be like watching him watch that movie. So in this movie, it is claustrophobia and the inability to breathe.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So if you have an issue with breathing, if you enjoy it and don't want to see it go away, maybe, you know, this movie is going to be a trigger for you. Also, very tight spaces a lot of the time, tight camera angles, real close. It's intended, and it's pretty good at what it does. It's just not something that affects me very much, so it didn't hit for me that bad. Now, this is one of my main points on this movie that bothered me to no end about this movie. I don't feel like kids should be piloting this multi-trillion dollar mining operation, Bryce. Why are there a bunch of fucking millennials down there? There was a time when movies were realistic about the people they cast for these faraway scenarios. You know, these remote scenarios, and I may be being vaguely sexist or overtly sexist here. I don't know, but I've been to some very far away lands in some very inhospitable situations and places, and it's true. The people who are there are stinky 30 to 50 year old men, and they stink and they have big long beards. And it's just a hellhole, and they're the only people that you can pay to go to these places. And let's face it, why are there a bunch of, like, 20-somethings there? And the reason is sexy. Right?
Right.
And I don't know why I'm complaining exactly, because I'm glad I got Kristen Stewart to look at instead of, I don't know, some stinky bearded man who's probably down there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it just bothers me to no end. Like, movies that accurately portray these faraway, horrible places and cast people accordingly are The Thing, Blood Diamond, Alien, Aliens, Alien 3. Now, you may be saying, but David, Sigourney Weaver is a star of all three Aliens. And I'm going to say yes. And that's the exception that proves the rule, because she's almost the only female in any of those movies. Mm-hmm. And she's surrounded by a bunch of what? Stinky 30 to 50 year old men.
Well, in Alien, there was the one other woman.
Yes. The lady I texted you about last night. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. There, like, yes, there's another female cast member in the first one and in the second one, but doesn't exist otherwise. So anyway, what do you think about this?
Yeah, it's a fair assessment. It feels like we got a fill it with beautiful people, and there's not the casting pretty much the thought with the casting pretty much stopped there. TJ Miller, like, yeah, that could make sense.
The captain.
You'd expect, yeah, and the captain.
But they had fucking interns in there. Like there were people like, oh, I'm just an intern. And it's like, what would you say you're doing down here? Like, this is a tremendous undergoing that you're down here for many months at a time. And I don't know. It just bothered me.
Yeah, that's not the only realism element that kind of breaks down.
No, yeah, there's definitely a lot of issues that I had with, like, that kind of made me, that were niggling in the back of my head, being like, I don't know, the pressure down there, like, yeah, just surrounding inaccuracies revolving around the pressure of how deep they are.
Right, so one of the things is, so you're going to build a vast complex at the bottom of the Marianas Trench.
That includes a train.
That includes a train. But the one thing that you're not going to do, if you build a space station or an underwater station that's in immense pressure, and for some reason it only exists in movies, is very, 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 very long hallways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that you're not going to build. It's literally a waste. Like, you know what you will do? You will build the rooms close together.
Now, you may be thinking, well, how long could the hallways possibly... Miles. Miles and miles and miles. We're talking, you can't see the end. There are twists and turns between the end and you. Yeah, it's...
Right, you'd have all of the rooms clumped together, like, and you'd get to them through a port.
Yeah, it would look like a space station. The floors would be flat and everything would be round. Everything else would be round.
Right.
And
it would be really close. There wouldn't be any space in it to
You
spare.
Wouldn't have these gym-like locker rooms and, real facilities that exist on land, you know, with plenty of headspace, you know. It's like, hey, 9-foot tall ceilings.
Maybe that's the only way they could get hot young people to work down there, is if they made it really roomy and airy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. You know? Could be that. I got a pimple over here.
Please don't.
See that? Oh, baby. That was a good go. So yeah, there's a few silly spots that'll kind of draw you out, but for the most part, I was, like I said, pretty engaged. Throughout the whole thing, you get a lot of monster sounds. There's a lot of yeah, and and they get real wet. You know, they're always wet. God, it looks like they were just cold all the time. I would have...
Is that a raincoat? Yes, it is.
I would have needed a raincoat.
That... Yeah, it's... Whenever you do stuff underwater or with water, if you step back, you're like, that must have been the hardest shoot ever.
Ugh.
Just...
Gross. Yeah, just so gross. So they get all the characters together, and so Kristen Stewart, she's running around, the place is exploding, she's picking up people as she's progressing through the facility. That's
lots of rubble, like,
yeah,
which is also another one that's like a little confusing.
A lot of concrete.
If there's a lot of rubble and concrete inside the building, how would that not be flooded?
You know, I mean...
I would expect crumpled, maybe, but not like rubble rocks level. Like,
not Barney rubble.
I can't imagine that the outer shell is metal, and then they also have like two feet of concrete.
We're at risk of, like, I'm really trying to stray us away from being who we... Like, we're at risk of revealing who we really are. Right.
These
which
are just
is nerdy.
These are just questions we have.
Fat, nerdy,
it's not,
sweaty.
It didn't necessarily ruin the movie.
Yeah.
It's just, these are questions. Like, Why would that be a thing? Why would that not be flooded?
Excuse me, in episode 7 of season 5, Itchy hits Scratchy's rib twice in succession while playing it like a xylophone and produces two totally separate sounds. Who was responsible for that blunder?
What's Homer's response to him?
I have a question for you. What is a man with a shirt that says genius at work doing watching a little kids program?
I retract my question.
So she gets all the characters together. She rounds them all up. We got the black guy. We got the intern who is a girl and who her boyfriend is with us as well. He's just kind of a generic dude. We got TJ Miller and we got the captain, Brenners. And so they all get together. The captain's like, I got a plan. We're this is so silly. I'm having trouble just saying it out loud. The thing that we are in right now is a support facility for the actual drill.
And the support facility is also
everything
7 miles under the ocean.
And yeah, we gotta get from our facility to the drill because I already sent a bunch of people out in escape pods, so they're gone. And we got no more escape pod. We got to find our way to escape pods. And the only place where I can think of that there are escape pods is in the drill. Okay, well, where's the drill? Well, okay, you're not going to like my three-part answer. Basically, we're going to have to put on these suits, walk around at the absolute bottom of the ocean, and, you know, make our way into this and that, and then we're going to take a left at Albuquerque, and then we'll eventually get there, maybe.
Now, you may ask, why don't they have a submarine?
Shut up. That's, yeah, why? Hey, I didn't ask that, but now it's a good question. Why don't they have a submarine?
Well, you might ask that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you might. So then it was great. Like I had a good time because the first guy to die very quickly, as soon as water was introduced to the scenario, was the black guy just imploded.
Right. Just like his face mask just goes click, ding, ding.
He pops like a balloon. Yeah. It was incredible.
Yeah. Literally like bits of black guy are floating around the water and they're like, hitting people's helmets as they're walking away.
I don't know. Is it a joke? I know it's a trope, but at this point, is it also a joke? Like, are movie makers just like, well, the first one has to be the black guy, right? We can't break that.
You know, that hasn't really been a thing in a while. Like, it's like a joke, but it's not necessarily true. Like, I don't think it's ever necessarily been true.
I mean,
that they're the first to die?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can think of plenty of horror movies where there's a black guy that he doesn't die first.
Huh.
Like Night of the Living Dead or Dawn of the Dead or, I don't know.
Our listeners.
Technically, this movie, the black guy isn't the first to die. There's plenty of dead people that they cross.
Yes, but it still fulfills the trope for sure. I'm interested. Our listeners attack Bryce with fervor and on social media, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, hit him up on Instagram. Tell him if he's wrong or right. Back up him or me. I'd be interested to know. Yeah, like you see a list of this shit. Not that we can't be bothered to do research. So so after they suit up and begin the journey, there's lots of they're kind of like, now the action starts. They're on a quest. Their quest is make it to the drill.
Yeah. The underwater suits are cool.
In
terms of production, they're like probably one of the cooler parts.
Yeah, definitely. And they're featured quite prominently.
It's
a perfectly cromulent word. At some point during this trek, they talk about drilling into a hydrothermal pocket that could sustain underwater life. Lots more monster sounds. We don't really get to see a monster, but there is a lot of hinting at monsters.
It does a pretty good job of hiding the monsters, and part of it is you literally can't see anything right throughout most of the movie.
Vague, it's periphery kind of bullshit.
That's one of the things that really bothered me, that most of the movie, like, I'll save you a ticket. You want to know what this movie is? 90% shots of murky water. Just murky water is what is featured most prominently in this movie. And sometimes a monster will flicker through.
Yeah, like I can't, you know,
the flashlights.
When you're right, you're right. And this is definitely Murky Water Simulator 2020.
So some of the fact that I was tired and falling asleep is that there was not a lot to look at. Like, it wasn't visually interesting.
There's a lot of close-ups of faces.
Yeah,
T.J. Miller's sweaty, fat face.
It would go from shots of murky water to shots inside the helmet, like right next to someone's cheek.
Yeah.
And that's what most of the movie is. I don't even think there was a lot of, like, exterior shots that show them walking. I guess, yeah, when they're underwater.
Yeah, there were.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But just that, it made me sleepy, because it's like, it just feels like a dark room. Feels like I'm in a dark room. And if you don't care about the people that are dying, or the stakes don't keep you interested in, you know, the monsters attacking them, other than you know that it's going to happen, like, it's just kind of boring.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're definitely onto it. And then, I don't know why they killed TJ so fast, but the way he dies is great.
Yeah.
All the deaths in this. So let me be clear. All the implosions are fucking cool.
Yeah.
All the special effects in it. Like, I'm not a fan of CGI, but this movie like really did it very well. I'm impressed with not only the CGI, but the deaths are creative and crazy. Mm-hmm. TJ Miller. So they're coming through, they're like making their way through this underwater tunnel, and the tunnel is, they get on the train, and this little cart that's on tracks, and they're taking it to the drill, and they get to a spot where it's damaged, and they have to actually go under the water instead of being in this air pocket. Well, mm-hmm. when they go under the water, TJ Miller's the last guy to go through, and he's been rattling off funny quips, and he's basically the only thing keeping them afloat as far as laughter goes up until this point. And he's the last one through this underwater tunnel. And right as he gets out on the other side of it, something grabs the end of his chain. Like, they have like a little lifeline chain, and something grabs it and basically pulls him out of his suit.
Well, yeah, he, like, gets his leg ripped off, and then, I guess, pulls him out. It just looks like a blood bag burst inside of the helmet.
Yeah, it was like, oh, he's sinking awfully low in the collar there. He's, like, his head's starting to, and then, basically, like, his face is instantly degloved, and the suit fills with blood immediately.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. I wish they didn't, why did they get rid of the funny guy halfway through?
I don't know.
I thought he got Me Too'd. Why is he even in this movie? I'm dead serious.
Me Too'd?
Yeah.
How so?
He did something. He was...
Well, he's had some troubles, but it's mostly due to, like substance abuse and burning bridges.
Oh. I thought he, I thought he, like, patentedly raped someone. Allegedly. I don't know, I thought some weird fucking thing happened. Maybe I'll look that up instead of just throwing these horrific accusations around.
I don't know anything about that, but now that you said it, I believe it. I mean, TJ Miller, he's the comedic relief. It's like super generic comedic relief. Like, he just says quips. He's TJ Miller. Like, yeah. It's literally like you...
But I like TJ Miller.
Yeah, he's all right. I don't find him that funny.
Oh, he's on your favorite show, though. Isn't he on in your favorite show?
Yeah, Silicon Valley is great, but he's not the best part of it. Like, after he left, like, I didn't feel like it was that bad with... I mean, I didn't miss him.
I like him.
All right. There's definitely some good moments. The character in Silicon Valley, specifically, that he plays, what makes him amusing isn't the fact that it's T.J. Miller playing him. It's the fact that he's just such a douchebag character. It's like he thinks he's so much more important and useful than he is.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So, man, there's really not a whole lot left to talk about this movie.
Yeah, so the literally, like, 70% of the movie is them walking underwater trying to get to a place, and each of them are picked off. And the ending is they get to the place, and there's a giant kaiju. There's, like, a giant kaiju monster, or, like,
well,
you
you're
know,
giving it all away.
Well, we're in the spoiler section. Or what do you call it, like, I don't know, kind of
Cthulhu.
Like H.P. Lovecraft.
Very, very Cthulhu-y.
Yeah, like, and the underwater ancients, you know.
Yeah.
He's awoken and is just like, oh, I'm going to, I don't like lights. I'm going to crush this thing.
Yeah, so, well, before we quite get there, they lose the captain. There's a very impressive scene where Kristen Stewart is tethered to the captain via a lifeline, and he gets dragged away by something's holding on to him. And Kristen Stewart is going with him, and it's pulling him all over the place. Long story short, he gets lost. There's issues with the rebreathers in the suit. So they start having trouble breathing one by one. The people, anyway, we're left with Kristen Stewart, the intern, and her boyfriend. This is our final three. And as they're getting to the drill facility, they notice, oh, hey, look, there's a whole nest of those things. And they're like,
yeah, the main monsters are like these
humanoid octopusy sort of thingies.
Yeah.
And
also, like, otherworldly, like, jelly-ish kind of things that eat bodies.
They're very goopy.
Like the baby things.
Yeah, it becomes evident that there's a couple different sizes of these things, and that they're all probably different at different stages in the life cycle of what eventually becomes these massive kaiju sort of Cthulhu things.
And they're all, I feel like they're all, like, attached to the kaiju thing, because,
yes,
like, he releases them. So the girlfriend, boyfriend, there's three escape pods. Two of them are working and one of them's not. And then so Kristen Stewart, like, makes the boyfriend and girlfriend go.
Yeah, she martyrs herself.
And then they're, like, ascending to the surface. And then Kaiju is like, not on my watch, and sends all of his minions up. And then we get a very convenient computer display back at the station with Kristen Stewart. And she's like, uh-oh. All the monsters are going to get them. They're faster than the
kaiju sending the little monsters after the little pods. I'm going to explode me to save them and
so
their
she's
love.
Self-destruct the nuclear core, and conveniently the computer calculates how far the explosion will go, and it just will not reach the.
Yeah, the computer.
Pods.
Yeah, that's a good point. The computer's like, hey, you know how you want to blow me up? Well, if you do, this is how far my explosion will reach. It's like,
very convenient.
Who programmed that in there? That had to be programmed. This is like the Child's Play 2019 thing.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want it to be evil? Yes/no. Choose one.
Yeah.
So the love succeeds thanks to Kristen Stewart. And she blows up the Ultraman. Now, the kaiju is pretty cool. It is so big.
And the one thing you can say about the monster design is it never shows too much.
No.
Like,
right.
you don't get a great shot, mostly because it's in murky water.
And it's so big that it could not possibly be lit in by anything.
Yeah.
But, it's pretty great. So my final recommendations for this movie, if you like monster movies like Godzilla or Kaiju or Cthulhu, then Underwater is for you. It's not great, but I thoroughly expected to hate it, and I didn't. I would watch this again while drunk or high. What about you?
Yeah, I'll never watch it again.
yeah, Bryce does not like this. He's all irritated by it. So with that, let's play Lifetime Movie or Horror Movie.
Start talking. It goes
Lifetime
on
movie and horror, or Lifetime movie or horror movie, is a game that we haven't played in a while. I kind of miss this game. What I've done is I've compiled a list of movie descriptions, and these are either Lifetime movies or horror movies, and Bryce will have to guess which description. Which one it is upon hearing the description read. And you, at home or in your car or in your headphones, can play along with us. Let us know how you did. And so, Bryce, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Here we go. Here's the first descriptions. So these are mostly, these are pretty lengthy. So get ready. Buckle up, as they say. Myra and Todd are struggling to come to terms with their son's newly diagnosed condition, requiring a special diet and physical treatment in order to live. They hire a live-in nurse, Gwen, who plans to take Todd and their son from Myra in order to become the new mother of the household. When Myra feels constantly fatigued and nauseous, it becomes clear Gwen is an angel of death who is intent on turning this family into her forever home. Is that a Lifetime movie or a horror movie?
So this is literally taken from, like, you didn't change the description at all?
No.
Okay.
That's the game, Bryce. What are you trying to insinuate?
I feel like anything that says forever home is going to be a Lifetime movie.
Wow. That's, man, you're getting good at this game. I got to tell you, that's a really astute observation. Yes, this is a Lifetime movie. This is Psycho Nurse from, there Lifetime. You go. That's okay. How you know. That's how you know it's there a Lifetime go. Movie. Okay. Good job. One for one. Okay. Next description. Mary Mason is lured into a world of freakish surgeries for easy money. That's it.
That's a horror movie.
Ooh, why? What makes you say that?
Last name Mason feels very horror.
Now you're just fucking. Yeah. Now you're just.
That feels like a horror movie.
Well, in any case, you are right. That is a horror movie.
Horror!
Yeah, that is American Nurse from 2012. 2 for 2.
I almost cut you off when you said the name. What was the name again?
Mary Mason.
Yeah, Mary Mason. That's a horror movie.
How do you know?
That's just a horror movie name. Mary Mason.
See, he has a 50-50 chance of being right, but as long as he sounds confident, it'll work. Okay, third description. India. Hang on. I got to pick up my computer here. India Stroker's world comes crashing down when her father dies in a car accident. Adding to the girl's emotional turmoil is the sudden arrival of Charlie, an uncle whom she never knew existed. Charlie moves in with India and her unstable mother, and soon India begins to suspect that this charming and mysterious man has ulterior motives. However, instead of feeling alarmed, India becomes increasingly infatuated with him. The French.
About 8:30. Yeah, I'm leaning.
What are you feeling? Talk us through.
Leaning towards Lifetime movie. The part where she starts getting infatuated with him, like that's like a tip off for me.
Yeah. So you go. What are you saying?
Lifetime.
So this is actually a horror.
No!
This is Stoker from 2013. This stars Nicole Kidman. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Look at you.
Wow.
Now you missed
2013?
One. Yeah. Stoker.
Huh.
Yeah. I'll be darned too. Okay. Fourth description. Beautiful Mandy Lane isn't a party girl. When classmate Chloe invites the Texas high school student to... Okay. Let me start over. Beautiful Mandy Lane isn't a party girl, but when classmate Chloe invites the Texas high school student to a bash in the countryside, she reluctantly accepts. After hitching a ride with a vaguely scary older man, the teens arrive at their destination. Partying ensues, and Mandy's close pal, Emmett, keeps a watchful eye on the young males making a play for Mandy. Then two of the students are murdered.
Okay, so I started out thinking it was a Lifetime movie.
Mm.
And then I transferred over to horror movie.
What made that transfer happen?
Getting picked up by hitchhikers feels like very much like a horror movie decision.
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it?
I can't
figure out why that doesn't feel Lifetime-y. I guess it's because a Lifetime exec would be like, well, women are never going to hitchhike.
But yeah.
Every Lifetime movie feels like an executive goes, this is what women do.
Yeah, maybe. I think the names are also an indicator to me. So it started out with, what is it, something Lane?
Or Mandy.
Something.
Mandy Lane.
Mandy Lane and
yeah.
Chloe.
Yeah.
So Mandy and Lane Emmett. And Chloe are like so generic and like Chloe Kardashian kind of names that it's like, okay, feels like a Lifetime scriptwriter wrote that.
I'll help you out. This was made in 2006, so it doesn't even.
And then once you say Emmett, then I'm like, oh, that's a horror movie name.
Okay, so you're going horror movie.
Yeah, I'm
going
to go horror movie.
Well, bravo, Bryce.
Horror.
That is a horror movie. This is All the Boys Love Mandy Lane from 2006. There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, final description. Okay, so right now you've already won the game. You're 3 out of 5.
All right.
Kelly's life is upended when she wakes up in the hospital with fragments of her memory after a car crash. The only thing she is certain of is that people closest to her are the very ones she's not sure she can trust. Her business partner, her closest friend, and her husband, Dan. Can she find the answer she needs before she's harmed again? Dan. Why does it even bother saying his name?
What's the girl's name again?
Kelly.
Yeah, that's Lifetime. That's so Lifetime.
I love this new code that you've used to crack Lifetime movie or horror movie. Is you use the name. Oh, it's in the names the whole time. Yes, that's a Lifetime movie. Oh man.
Yeah, like
that's her deadly reflections from 2019.
Yeah, I feel like I feel the guy names are probably the more of an indicator
Dan.
Too. Because it's like, what's the most boring placeholder man name we can think of? Dan.
Well, I don't know. You got Bob. You got Dan. You got Stan.
Her ex-husband Mike.
Oh, I love the way you cracked horror movie. Or Lifetime movie this time. Well, that was Lifetime movie or horror movie.
Let's move on to it. Came from social media.
Yeah, you should. Before we do, you should tell us on social media how you did at Lifetime movie or horror movie. Tell us if you did as good as Bryce. You got 4 out of 5.
Here we go.
Yes, it came
from social media
to fill the world with terror, to bring you unforgettable suspense. What was it? Where did it come from? Who were the all-powerful creatures it brought
from social media?
And what did they want on Earth?
No, oh, very nice.
So first off, I want to start off with saying thank you to the people that have left us new reviews on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, man, they were great. These last two have been just wonderful.
You don't even need to leave us a full review or a written review.
Just click the stars.
Just click the stars is all we ask for. But these ones went the extra mile. This one was posted just this last Monday from Persleep Meow. The headline is "Love These Guys." Gave us 5 stars and said, "This is my favorite horror movie podcast. The two have great chemistry together, and I love listening to their jokes, banter, and in-depth discussions. I appreciate that this podcast has minimal off-topic chit-chat, and most of the time they get right to the movie review. I also appreciate the play-by-play in addition to the overall discussion. Great podcast for those of you that love horror movies, humorously insightful discussions, and hot children."
God damn those hot children.
Wow. You did that perfectly. Well, that wasn't a drop, people. That was David recreating.
That was me actually saying it. Wow. This time.
I just felt chills.
Yeah, that one was my favorite.
That's one of my favorite reviews we've ever gotten.
Yeah, maybe because they hone in on exactly what we go for on this, which is we know what we don't like in podcasts, and it's a bunch of worthless chatter. Just chit-chat, off-topic bullshit.
Like, we're fine with chatter, but not at the beginning.
And not just not at the beginning, not for extent. Like, you can't do it for 10 minutes.
I mean, that's not to say, like, that's okay with some people.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
I get it. But for us,
we try and keep it high and tight
about the format at the beginning, and we adjusted it.
I think it paid off.
And, like, I'm glad that she noticed that.
Or he.
The intention.
Persleep Meow could be a man.
That's true. And the fact that they're obviously a fan because they use the in-reference of Hot Children, which is great. Another one left on Monday. And by WhaleShark23, another 5-star review said, "After trying out..." This one confused me. Maybe you'll...
Try it out.
This is either a spelling mistake or it's a reference that I just don't understand.
Okay.
They say, "After trying out all the hoodie Picasso I could handle, this one is my favorite. Funny and insightful." They don't finish the word insightful. It's just insightful. So,
how dare you be rude to this person?
I love them. I'm glad. I'm just confused. So, what is hoodie? They tried out all the hoodie Picasso.
Hoodie Picasso. You know what this
Picasso is capitalized, like the name Picasso.
Okay. Then you know what this sounds like to me? This sounds like a autocorrect.
Well, yeah. So what
Picasso would be podcast, horror podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I tried out all the other hoodie podcasts.
We should change our description to be like a hoodie Picasso.
Hoodie Picasso. I love it. Wow. This is my new favorite thing.
I love hoodie Picassos.
Yeah. Glue, glue, bam, bam.
Glue, glue, bam, bam.
For those of you who remember.
Yeah. So a previous comment left on one. Oh, man. I got to pull up that comment on Horror Movie Talk, too. I forgot. We got a lot of communication this last week.
Somebody said that did you read the one I responded to last night?
Us?
Yeah, the us one.
Yeah, I got to look at that.
Oh. Everybody will. Well, maybe not everybody will enjoy that.
We'll get there. So, yeah, trying all of the Hoodie Picasso horror movies, I could handle this one as my favorite. Funny and insightful. Thank you, WhaleShark23. So, yeah, if you're WhaleShark23 or Persleep Meow, you know, hit us up on Twitter and just let us know who you are. Or on Facebook. I'm sure... We already know who you are, but we haven't attached it to you.
Yeah, that fucking autocorrect. Last night you asked me if I had seen Underwater yet, and I said, and I sent you yes, and it autocorrected it to no. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, you know, the time that I turned off autocorrect was that I was sending someone directions, and I put in north, so capital N-E, and it changed it to northwest. Just the worst case scenario. Like, why would you autocorrect
it? The exact opposite.
Yeah. So they're like, where is this?
Well, not like, the exact opposite. That's 90 degrees opposite.
Right. Anyway, so those are the new reviews. Thank you for leaving those. And if you haven't and you have an Apple product, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts.
As always, thank you to Magnus, who we basically talk to throughout the week. He's our boy from Sweden, and he's repping Horror Movie Talk out there. We've been talking to him about the new Dracula series on Netflix. I guess it's a mini series because we've been watching it, he's been watching it, and we all have the same opinions about it. We're going to talk about the Dracula mini series on the Afterpod or on our Patreon. So if you would like to hear our thoughts on that, check it out on Patreon.
I'll save you the time though. Just don't watch the first episode of Dracula and don't watch the first
two episodes. I like the first two episodes pretty good. Don't save them time.
Trust me. Okay, on Twitter, I had a flurry of conversations on Twitter on Wednesday. So this one,
you're kind of the Twitter guy. I'm kind of the Facebook guy.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
Well, you're more responsive on Facebook. I talk to people on Facebook.
Yeah,
too.
You do. You do.
So Pritch, Twitter username Pritch533, Pritch. He followed us, and I asked him if he was a listener and what his favorite horror movie was. And he said that, yeah, he's a listener. His favorite is American Werewolf in London. It scared him when he was younger.
I watched that a couple weeks ago. It was great.
And he was a really cool guy. He also was starting to watch Dracula. Okay, yeah, he said, awesome, man. Well, I'm enjoying it. It's nice to hear two guys genuinely have a good, honest time on a podcast. Really easy to listen to. Love it. And so that was really nice.
Yeah, comment. Thank you, Pritch. You got more on Twitter there?
Let me see.
I got, while you're looking, I have one on our website.
Yeah, I read the one on the website.
Okay, Mel responded to our Us movie review, which was almost a year ago now. He or she says, the review ruined it for me. The review ruined it for me. They bash our president and country. I know that America is doing well today, and the facts speak for themselves. How can we truly stand divided? ? The political judgment is all in the movie to program us to dumb is down, and it is actually doing the opposite. Shame on the movie industry, ... And I just responded, this review ruined it for you? I'm not sure what he or she means exactly. It's clear that they didn't enjoy the political commentary present in Us, but I'm not sure if we got political on that episode. I'm kind of right of center. I don't identify with what he's saying. I'm confused by his comment. What about you, Bryce?
I was bemused.
Yes, it was very. I laughed
because I don't know. I don't want to offend anyone, but when you say
the comment speaks volumes about itself.
Yes, yeah. Because they read the last part again. Read like the last three sentences or two sentences.
And how can we truly stand divided? ? The political judgment is all in the movie to program us. To dumb is down, and it is actually doing the opposite. ... Shame on the movie industry. ...
So, how did they spell movie?
Shame on the move industry.
Yeah, MOVE.
Yeah,
because that's how you spell movie. So, I just find it very ironic that they're like, they're trying to dumb us down. Fuck that move industry.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you're kind of proving a lot of points, ironically. Yeah.
Like, maybe you're the extreme one.
Look,
you're the dumb one.
I'm not big on sharing political opinions, but here's what I will say. If you have strong ones, I don't really. I mean, my opinions are that everyone's evil. yeah. in politics. Like, everyone. Donald Trump. Like, some people are less evil. Some people are more evil. But, yeah, I mean, if you can't just take a movie and kind of look at it. Us was a smart movie. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is one of the more important comments for us on Twitter after we released our review of The Grudge. Tara Westwood, which was the actress that played the Lander's wife.
Yeah, yeah. In The Grudge 2020.
She commented at us, at Horror Movie Talk, you got what we were trying to do in The Grudge, which is great.
Yeah.
It's not a verified Twitter account, but
Not only is it not verified, there's not a lot of followers.
Yeah, not a lot of followers, but she is not like a huge actress. Like, she's been in a lot of like NCIS type.
I would expect her to have more than 1,000 followers, though. But it doesn't seem like there are like fake accounts of her.
Right. And it was literally like a lot of, it's just her stuff and some, you know, personal video, you know, of her. It's mostly marketing herself, but I'm pretty sure it's her. And I appreciated that she was like, hey, thanks for appreciating us. And I'm always confused how that works, because this has happened. We've got tweeted at by Fly Low, and it doesn't appear in their Twitter feed.
Flying Lotus. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if I look at their Twitter feed, I don't see it. Yeah. So, like, I had to retweet it.
Kind of bums me out. They get able to see it. Yeah.
I don't know if there's an option to tweet, but just to, I don't know how Twitter works.
Here's a comment we got on the website on Bryce's Grudge review last week. Hey, guy, this comes from Elizabeth. Hey, guys, love your podcast. Listen to it every week. I cannot agree more with the Grudge review. I saw the original a couple days after I saw the 2020 version. I like the original better, but I also love the new one. I thought it was great, was really good at building up the story and atmosphere without being too cliche. Definitely review the first one as well. It's really good. So thank you, Elizabeth, for reaching out to us and for agreeing with us, because, of course, we take ourselves very seriously and our opinions are always correct. So and it's not a taste thing. It's definitely factual that our opinions are true, correct, accurate. So thank you, Elizabeth.
And also, Derek K. reached out to us on Facebook. He says, hey, guys, I just started listening to the show, and I love it. I was wondering if you ever considered touching on the Scream movies. And we had a little conversation with him on Twitter, and he was really nice to us. And he says he's been digging the A24 films, but he loves the classics. So,
yeah, here's what I'll say. If you're a listener and you want to request that we review a movie, I would suggest you head on over to our Patreon and check that out, because we have a lot of requests to review movies. We have a big, long list.
Yeah.
And the ones that get priority are the ones that come from Patreon members. And the best and best of all, every month we have basically a raffle where they get to vote on movies that they suggest we review. And so every month we review a Patreon requested horror movie. So,
yeah. So just the nature of the beast, we only do one movie an episode, like, and it kind of locks us in. I think I like the format.
Yeah, I do too.
Because you don't have to wade through, like, did they cover this movie or not? Like, it's pretty easy to find if we covered the movie, you just search for it. But we get a lot more requests than we can cover, because also try to hit all the new releases.
We have a list that's 30 or 40 movies long, and that's almost a whole year.
Yeah. So the reality of it is, like, we needed a way to prioritize it somehow, and so Patreon is that way. So what we do is we ask them, like, what are the movies that you would want us to do? They all come up with it as a group, and then we vote on it as a group.
Yep.
So next week, I think the leader right now is Crawl.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a Sam Raimi movie, I think, isn't it?
It has his name on it. Who knows what that means? The Grudge also had Sam Raimi's name.
That's
on
true,
it.
And I like The Grudge because Sam Raimi.
Yeah. So, yeah, check out. I mean, another plug for Patreon, but really, in honesty, if you want to have an impact on the movies that we watch, that's probably the best way to do it. So thank you. There's a lot of other people that commented
on
social
media. Yeah, if we didn't get to you, we're sorry. Keep talking to us. We talk to everybody. So, you know, if you want to have a conversation with us that's ongoing, we've been talking to Magnus for like a long time, getting close to a year now. And he's my friend on Facebook now. So it's like if you want to talk, we're here. So reach out to us, and we're sorry if we didn't get to you this week, but we will get to you if you keep talking to us. Thank you again for listening. Make sure to share the podcast with a friend. That if you want us to get big and do a lot of cool things, like go places to events and shit like that, then we need to grow. So share this stuff with a friend and review us on Apple Podcasts, or don't review us, just rate us, just give us a star rating. Also, if you'd like to support the show, remember you can head on over to Patreon. We've already plugged that. Head on over to our website, horrormovietalk.com. Look at the top of the page and there will be a button that says buy stuff on Amazon. Click that, bookmark it, and every purchase you make through Amazon gives us a couple bucks, and we need those bucks to, you know, keep the lights on. So special thanks to everyone who reached out to us this week, and to TJ Miller for making this one point better of a movie. And with that, we'll see you guys next week. Bye bye. We love you. Bye.
Bye bye, everybody. Bye bye.
Bye. Bye bye. Bye bye.
I can't believe that Bryce prefers Van Patten's card to mine.